Iran summoned Slovenia's ambassador in Tehran to protest the presence of the country's prime minister at the gathering of the MKO chair group. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry urges the UN Security Council to oblige Israel to abide by international and humanitarian laws regarding the situation in Gaza. And hot weather alerts are in place for more than 30 million people across the western United States as the region is witnessing its highest temperatures ever. Appreciate you joining us. Well, Iran has summoned Slovenia's ambassador in Tehran to strongly protest the participation of the country's premier at a virtual meeting of the Mujahideen Khalq Organization terrorist group. Iran's foreign ministry condemned Prime Minister Janez Jansaz's anti-Iran remarks during the meeting as false, unacceptable, and undiplomatic. The ministry said supporting a terrorist group violates the UN Charter and international norms. The ministry had earlier called the meeting a circus. Tehran said the presence of figures like Jansa and former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo there was shameful hypocrisy by the West. The three-day meeting began in Paris on Saturday. The MKO has killed thousands of Iranians in its assassination and bombing campaigns since the 1979 Islamic Revolution.
2021. On Saturday, the Mujahideen Khalq Organization terror group held a hybrid virtual and face-to-face meeting in Albania. Speakers joined via video conference from Europe and the US, and the terror group sympathizers held gatherings in some European cities. This is why the cult-like group had been on the EU and the US list of designated terror organizations for a long time. The speakers agreed with the MEK on two issues: further sanctions against Iran and no negotiations with the country. Mike Pompeo, former U.S. State Secretary under the Donald Trump administration, was the main speaker.
The program of sanctions and pressure employed by the Trump administration needs to remain the model for engagement with Iran if we want to ensure the security of the American people and better lives for the Iranian people. In Washington, D.C., there is much consensus, as evidenced by the overwhelming support for the sanctions regime that we put into place.
Other speakers at the conference also defended the hardline anti-Iran policy. Stephen Harper, former Canadian Prime Minister, called negotiations with the Iranian government shameful. He went on to advocate a normalization policy with Israel. Also, Franco Frattini, former European Commissioner and Foreign Minister under former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, rejected any negotiations with Tehran.
My colleagues in Europe should seriously consider not to sitting whatsoever around the same table with the Iranian dignitaries.
The huge red carpet and military salutes would make even some state presidents jealous. That begs the question, what is the terror group doing in Albania?
The Mujahideen have very good relations with senior officials of all three parties, with the Albanian Secret Service. They're probably corrupting the whole lot. They have very good relations, and they're allowed to keep this area in Manez, where no one is allowed to enter.
The MEK backed Iraq's former dictator Saddam Hussein during the 1980-1988 Iran-Iraq War. They were put on the list of terrorist organizations in 2000 and were declared persona non grata in Iraq in 2003. They then fled to Albania. Experts say that the MEK is a dangerous sectarian group that was on the list of terrorist organizations. So it's strange to hear all these speakers express their full support for this group. It only shows the double standards of the European Union when it comes to terrorist groups. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has urged the United Nations Security Council to pressure Israel to abide by international law. In a statement, the ministry condemned the continued blockade of the Gaza Strip, which has sabotaged the lives of over 2 million Palestinians. It said the Israeli siege on Gaza blocks efforts to stabilize the truce that ended the regime's 11-day deadly aggression on the coastal territory. Earlier, a UN official warned that the situation in the Gaza Strip is deteriorating at all levels. An increasing Israeli blockade will lead to a new round of violence. Israel has imposed a land, sea, and air blockade on the Strip since 2007. The UN has been asking for the lifting of the blockade for years. The reduction of fishing areas in the Sea of the Gaza Strip has led Gazan fishermen to protest the Israeli restrictions imposed on fishing. Palestinian fishermen can barely make a living due to the inhumane Israeli blockade on fishing areas for 15 years now.
Scores of Palestinian fishermen staged a protest against the ongoing Israeli violations against them in the Sea of Gaza. The Israeli siege imposed on the fishing area for 15 years has deteriorated the lives of Gazan fishermen who are dependent on the fishing industry and has badly affected Gaza's economy.
The raw materials required for repairing our nets and boats are not allowed to enter Gaza. This has deteriorated the condition of most fishermen in Gaza. For 15 years, the Israeli regime has intended to close down fishing zones in fishing seasons.
The fishermen syndicate in Gaza organized a protest in Gaza's port. There was also a press conference aimed at highlighting the Israeli abuse against fishermen, namely opening fire at them, arresting them, and droning fishing boats.
I lost my brothers and I lost my money and my source of income as the Israeli regime bombed my boat in 2014. And here I am, participating in this protest while human rights groups turn a blind eye to what is happening to us.
During the latest Israeli offensive on Gaza, Israel closed the sea completely. Since the end of the onslaught on 21st May, Israel has opened the sea for fishermen only for 6 miles, which is not enough for fishermen to get enough fish to help them make money or even provide enough fish for consumers.
The inhumane Israeli blockade has restricted our work for 15 years now. Most of fishermen now lack fishing nets and equipment due to the closure of borders. The Israeli regime is trying to destroy the Palestinian income by any means. The occupiers intend to make us isolated and restrict our daily work.
Under the Oslo Agreement, the fishing range was 20 miles. However, over the years, the Israeli military gradually reduced this range, severely damaging the livelihoods of thousands of fishermen. The humanitarian situation in Gaza is worsening due to the Israeli blockade, which is taking its toll on the life of 2 million Palestinians. Fishermen here in Gaza call on the international community to pressurize Israel to end these restrictions that threaten their daily lives and make it hard to maintain any source of income. Ruba Shavit, Gaza.
Meanwhile, a senior member of the Palestinian Fatah movement has called for the expulsion of the United Arab Emirates from the Arab League over its normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. Abbas Zaki, also called the Abu Dhabi Crown Prince, and the deputy military chief of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, a traitor. He warned that the UAE would be unable to stop the Zionist movement once it opens the doors to actually award citizenship to Israelis. Zaki hailed the spirit of the Emirati people and said that they would never accept such a betrayal. He was reacting to a report that the UAE has granted citizenship to some 5,000 Israelis over the past 3 months. The UAE and some other Arab regimes normalized ties with Israel, brokered by former U.S. President Donald Trump last year. Now, the move was slammed by Muslims worldwide, with Palestinians calling it a stab in their back. A prominent international rights group has revealed new details about torture of high-profile political detainees and women activists imprisoned in Saudi Arabia in 2018. In a report, Human Rights Watch quoted an anonymous prison guard as describing the torture methods of Saudi interrogators used against prisoners. That included electric shock, violent beatings, whipping, and sexual harassment. HRW says it obtained a series of text messages from the guard detailing the horrendous treatment of detainees committed in front of him and in front of other staff. Now, the accounts were from Dabhan prison north of Jeddah and another location the guard identified as a secret prison. HRW Deputy Director for Middle East and North Africa, Michael Page, says the new evidence further exposes the Saudi regime's disrespect for law and its failure to credibly investigate rights violations. Yemen's Mine Action Center has defused a large U.S. bomb in the capital, Sana'a. Observers say the operation proves once again that the U.S. is playing a key role in leading the current devastating war on the impoverished nation. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdul Latif Al-Washali, reports.
After 2 months of digging into a depth of more than 20 meters, Yemen's Mine Action Center managed to defuse one of the largest U.S. bombs dropped in Yemen's capital, Sana'a. The bomb was expected to target the civil defense building in Sana'a.
This GBU-24 bomb from the Paveway series was dropped in 2015 to target the civilian defense building in Sana'a next to Al Thara Park and Al Hasaba local market. The Saudi-led coalition has been using various types of advanced American weapons in its war on Yemen. This is a clear violation of the international humanitarian law.
Observers say this bomb is another proof of the U.S. military support for the Saudi-led coalition's war on Yemen.
We defused a GBU-24 bomb with a weigh of 1.5 tons. The bomb targeted this hangar designated for the maintenance of Yemeni civil defensive fire trucks. The explosion of the bomb could have caused a humanitarian catastrophe with great consequences. The U.S. has provided only a few countries, including Saudi Arabia, with such a bomb.
Over the past years, Saudi Arabia has used internationally prohibited weapons, including the U.S. bombs, to target residential areas across the country. Back in April 2015, Riyadh committed one unforgettable crime by bombing the Attan area with a U.S. cluster bomb, killing more than 100 civilians, including women and the children. The American bomb dropped by U.S. aircraft is yet another witness to Washington's role in the war crimes in Yemen, as the U.N. turns a blind eye to such violations. Besides the military support, Yemenis say Washington has always been backing Saudi Arabia politically as a major ally in the region. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Well, the recent visits by the Taliban delegation to Tehran and Moscow comes as militants are intensifying their attacks, mainly on district centers and border lines across northern and western Afghanistan. Now, this has sparked mixed reactions.
Nowadays, the Taliban are gaining more ground in Afghanistan by increasing their attacks, especially on district centers and border areas, mainly in the northern and western parts of the country. The Taliban captured some key border areas in northern and western provinces of Badakhshan, Kunduz, Faryab, and Herat over the last week. These gains have at least added to Kremlin's concerns. Moscow voiced concern over the possibility of Taliban militants spilling across the border into Tajikistan. That came after hundreds of Afghan troops fled to Tajikistan due to the Taliban's advances in northeastern Badakhshan province earlier this week. The militants also captured the Islam Qala customs checkpoint located near the Iranian border in western Herat province. The Taliban have stepped up their attacks across Afghanistan at a time when the group's political wing has, ironically enough, become active as well. Two Taliban delegations traveled to Tehran and Moscow earlier this week as a show of the group's will to find a political solution to the Afghan conflict. This comes as war-weary Afghans widely welcome any move to bring stability to their country by any player, mainly the Taliban. However, some here believe that there are some secret deals that lead Afghan troops to surrender to the Taliban and hand over areas to them. But the Afghan president strongly rejects the allegation.
There is no any secret deal. We are not willing to surrender to the Taliban at any cost. The time has come to bravely defend our land and dignity. The Taliban cannot force us to surrender even in 100 years' time.
In the meantime, a spokesman for the Taliban has also said that they will offer a written peace proposal to the Afghan government within a month. However, many also doubt about the real intentions of the Taliban. They, for instance, argue that the Taliban's diplomatic efforts are simply political maneuvering to restore their image among the public, who have not forgotten how difficult life was under the Taliban rule over Afghanistan before 2001.
The Taliban are struggling to win the hearts and minds of people by attempts such as focusing on political moves like traveling to Iran and Russia. But we cannot approve their rule over Afghanistan unless they honor our values and major achievements, mainly human rights and press freedom.
Taliban militants have scaled up their attacks all over Afghanistan since May. But the emergence of popular forces mainly in northern Afghanistan turned things against the Taliban's will. That is why some experts have believed the recent political moves by the Taliban are due to the pressure coming from public resistance forces against the group, forces who have in some cases liberated dozens of districts from Taliban control. Sayed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
And now to the United States, where more than 30 million people are under alert as the western parts are struggling with a second heat wave in weeks. According to the National Weather Service, dangerously hot conditions would continue through Sunday. It said Las Vegas has recorded temperatures of over 47 degrees Celsius, the highest since 1942. Temperatures up to 54 degrees Celsius are also predicted for Death Valley, California. Now, the National Weather Service has warned of elevated risk of heat-related illnesses. The hottest month of June, which coincided with a record-setting drought, killed scores of people, strained electric grids, and depleted reservoirs. The extended heat wave has already killed at least 116 people in Oregon alone. That brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. On this Sunday, July 11th, 2021, I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Dear listeners, if you have any messages for different listeners around the world, then please record your voice, send it to us, and then get your voice heard. Please remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program, dear listeners. It's your views that are important. And here, I, on behalf of my colleagues, do express my deepest condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad Taqi, the ninth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Please stay with us. Welcome back, dear listeners. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. For your information, these reception reports are very important and very useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. For your information, again, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Christer Brandstorm from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, Matto Holosi from Hungary, also one of our regular listeners, and the last but not the least is a reception report from Abed Hussein Sajed, one of our regular listeners from Pakistan. So, Christer, Matto, and Abed Hussein, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As usual, we have received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters. From Norway, we have an email from Radar Bo. Radar Bo is one of our regular listeners. From Chile, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, and that is Hector Fria Hofre. Sayed Abbas Taqi from Pakistan has sent us an email. From the UK, we have an email from Paul R. Newton. And as I said before, the last but not the least is an email from England. And this email is from Patrick Travers. Patrick Travers is one of our regular listeners who has sent us an email. Well, dear listeners of Listeners Special, after a short break, I will be back with these kind messages. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, dear listeners. And as I said, we have received an email from Norway. This email is from Radar Bo. Radar Bo is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello, thank you very much for the beautiful EQSL card. This was much appreciated. I'm sorry to hear that some packages have been rejected by the post office of a number of countries. But fortunately, they cannot stop emails or your shortwave transmissions. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Radar Bo from Norway, one of our regular listeners, and many thanks for sending us this email. So, you like the EQSL card that my colleagues designed for you, and that's good news for us in IRIB English Radio, and especially Listeners Special. And what a pity. Those packages, as you mentioned, were rejected by the post office. And thanks for informing us about this trouble. And as you said, fortunately, the emails and shortwave transmissions cannot be stopped, fortunately. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Radar Bo from Norway, please. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Radar Bo from Norway. And from Chile, one of our regular listeners, Hector Fria Hofre, has sent us an email. Hector says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am pleased to send you a reception report of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm very happy with the current moment of the propagation, which allows us to listen to distant radio signals. I was happy listening to the Holy Quran verses from your radio, as I believe that the Quranic verses are universal. They are understood with the spirit. The signal itself is not very strong, which is logical. But the headphones, it is perfectly audible. I would like to receive information about your country. Best regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Hector Friahofer from Chile. And I do appreciate you for sending us this email. You mentioned every detail about our English radio programs. And thank you very much for, briefing these things, including, as you said, you sent us a reception report about the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Many thanks for your reception report. And you also mentioned that the signal was not very strong and it was logical, but you said with headphones it was perfectly audible. Of course, we will inform our technicians and engineers about the trouble you had about receiving the signal, but overall we are happy that you were successful in receiving our signals, the signals of IRB English Radio in your country, in Chile. You said you had the chance to listen to the verses of the Noble Quran, and it was great. And as you said, the verses of the Quran are universal and is for all the people around the world. And as you said, it can be understood with the spirit. So you mentioned that you like to receive information about Iran. Of course, we in IRB English Radio broadcast many different programs about our country, about Iran. Currently we are broadcasting different programs about Iran, and you can find the archive of these programs in our website at www.parstoday.com/en. These programs include Iranian Market, Iranian Notables, and also, of course, Close Up Iran. Close Up Iran is a program about tourist attractions of Iran, and there, of course, in our website and in the shortwave radio, you can find these programs and you can listen to them. Of course, there are different programs about our country, and as I said, the archive is available at our website. Anyway, Hector Friahofer from Chile, many thanks for writing this detailed email about IRB English radio programs. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you, Hector Friahofer. Well, dear listeners, we will be back after a short break. Welcome back to Listen as a Special. As I said, from Pakistan, we have an email from Sayyid Abbas Taghi. Sayyid Abbas Taghi from Pakistan says, "Dear Sir or Madam, in the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting, I want to promote your service in my area. As you may know, Muzaffargarh is the city of listeners in Pakistan due to the number of radio listeners in this area. So do me a favor and post me some of your promotional materials along with few literatures. Thank you. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran to Pakistan and to Sayyid Abbas Taghi, one of our listeners who has, I do apologize for my voice. So Sayyid Abbas Taghi has received our signals in his country, in Pakistan, and in his area, and he said His area is called Muzaffargarh, which is his area is called the City of Listeners. That's great. Muzaffargarh is the City of Listeners in Pakistan, and that is because the number of radio listeners in this area. That's great. I didn't know about that. Great information. So in your area, Muzaffargarh, there are so many radio listeners. That's great. Of course, Sayyid Abbas Taqi, we will send you an EQSL card, and we will send you promotional materials and souvenirs of our Arab English radio if available, and if the health protocols regarding the post office let us do so. Thank you very much for sending us this message. Sayyid Abbas Taqi from Pakistan sent our regards to your fellow countrymen and the listeners in your area. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon and receiving your views about the broadcast of Arab English Radio. Many thanks. From the UK, as I said, we have an email from Paul R. Newton. Paul is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear Sir or Madam at Arab English Radio, I heard your broadcast at 1945 UTC last night. On looking this morning in my IRTH 2021, I wasn't sure if it was Iran. I was using a frequency of about 6035 kilohertz. It kept changing slightly by about 5 kilohertz due to interference. Sound kept coming and going. I haven't heard shortwave radio for a while. I have already written to and heard in the last couple of days Romania, Turkey, Italy, and China, and I hope I can receive a QSL card or an EQSL from IRIB English Radio. Thank you in advance." Well, salam and greetings to you, Paul R. Newton from the UK, and deep thanks to you for writing us this detailed information and email. So you heard our broadcast recently, and it's good news for us. And also you mentioned that you had trouble in the sound. As you said, it was coming and going. It was because of the interference, and we will inform our engineers and technicians about this problem. We hope that this problem fades very soon. And of course, you said you listened to different radio stations during the last couple of days, different radio stations in Romania, Turkey, Italy, and China. That's great. And now you are listening to IRIB English Radio from Iran, and of course my colleagues will send you an EQSL card, and if available, the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Paul R. Newton from the UK, write to us soon and tell us your views about different programs of IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with the rest of the emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back from England. We have an email from Patrick Travers. Patrick is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, I found listening to your English broadcast this evening very informative and enjoyable. I would be very interested in learning more about your broadcast, and I would welcome any information, including frequency schedule, etc. Please, will you send a program schedule and pennant or any other publicity manual? Thank you." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Patrick Travers from England, and many thanks for writing this email to us. We are so happy that you found IRIB English Radio broadcast, as you described, very informative and enjoyable. That's good news. And about your request about sending you frequency schedules and program schedule, You can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/yen, and there you can find our frequency schedule and program schedule. And of course, my colleagues will, as soon as possible, send you an EQSL card and the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio if available, and if the health protocols of post office let us do that. Patrick Travers from England, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio, and listeners special, write to us soon. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with you. And now, dear listeners of Listeners Special on IRIB English Radio, here again, I do express my deepest condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad Taqi, the ninth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We wish you all the best, many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
We express our condolences on the occasion of the Shahada of Imam al-Jawad, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, to the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, as well as to all the followers and lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. And we send our salutations to that beloved Imam in Qadhimain, in Baghdad, in Iraq, and we ask him to call on us to be able to visit him in person in this life and to meet him after this life in the hereafter and to be with him and with the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Imam al-Jawad had a difficult time in many ways, many aspects. Obviously, whether it's the forced marriage he had to go through, which led to his shahada, his martyrdom, was because of the marriage with Ma'mun's daughter, which was a forced marriage. Not in the sense that the Imam was powerless, but rather he was put in conditions that the wisest choice for him to make was to go through the hardship and difficulty of accepting that marriage, knowing that it will result in the end result that it did. That's one of the difficulties he went through. There are other difficulties. On the same topic, the problem of that individual is different than, say, the examples of, as the Quran says, certain wives of the Prophet in Surah At-Tahrim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them and how they aggravated the Prophet. They did things that were wrong. They hurt him. And so him being patient with them, getting involved in those marriages, knowing the outcome was a test for him, and he chose that. Knowing the outcome, those were difficulties as well. But the difficulty of this particular instance is more than that, because in those instances, those individuals, if even as some have suggested, which there isn't really definitely zero historic backing for this, that they had a plot to do things, and no, they were weak individuals and things came up and things turned into what they did eventually, and that's a reminder for us. So when they married the Prophet, and when the Prophet decided to marry these individuals, they didn't have this plot to do things. They weren't intelligent enough to have those plots. But because of their weakness in their iman, gradually it led to decisions that they made that both hurt the Prophet and hurt the nation, the ummah of the Holy Prophet. But in the case of Imam al-Jawad, the marriage with Ma'mun's daughter is an instance where the whole setup is, in their view, a trap. They did to Imam al-Jawad what the other Khulafa did to Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari. They took Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari to the Mu'askar, to a city which is a military camp, for surveillance, for making it difficult to get a hold of the Imam, to try to control the movements of the Imam, all the different things. And so life on a daily basis becomes difficult for an Imam who has a responsibility to guide the masses. Imam al-Jawad was treated in this way, the way that they tried to put a tap on him and control him and have surveillance on him was through the marriage. So this is a whole another level of difficulty that Imam al-Jawad salamullahi alayhi had to deal with. But one of the other difficulties that Imam al-Jawad had to deal with, which is even more difficult if understood, is not the way those who were clearly the enemies of the Imam were behaving towards him and treating him. That was not the more difficult part of what Imam al-Jawad had to go through. The more difficult part of Imam al-Jawad's imamah, and for us, from our perspective, seeing difficulties, because we really have trouble understanding the thought process and the mindset of an imam with their level of tawheed, what difficulty even means to them. Those are things that we really are too deficient to be able to process. But from our understanding, our level of understanding, one of the very serious difficulties that Imam al-Jawad salamullahi alayhi had was that when he became an imam at age 8, there were those within the Shia, within the ranks of the Shia, not simply ordinary followers of the Ahlul Bayt, those who identified as Shia, but also those who were seen as somewhat holding some level of leadership amongst the Shia community. Certain, if we may call them ulama, we have these characters, and it makes the imam's job leading the Shia community and the Muslim community, it makes it much more difficult when they start going against the imams. And mind you, pretty much all the imams had that situation. Imam with Imam al-Jawad, the issue is he's a young boy, and this is unprecedented in Islam within, you know, since the Prophet, since the time of the Prophet of Islam, the way people see it. Obviously, each of the imams was different from the time of their birth, even prior to their birth, from the moment that material existence of theirs entered this universe. They were different. They're not ordinary people. This has got to be something that we understand. And this is one of the reasons why we're mentioning this. As we said, these are things that we need to learn from. The Ahlul Bayt are people. They are humans, but they're not like you and I. Being human does not mean, does not equate to being like you and I. It's gradational. I'm a human being. Imam Khomeini was a human being as well. Where am I compared to him? And he's not even a ma'soom. There's different levels, not just in terms of knowledge. No, there's levels of spirituality, certain things that a person has. People, we all share humanity. But it doesn't mean that they are like us or that we are like them. No, they are way above and beyond. Some of the Shia, some of the companions of Imam al-Ridha, of the Ahlul Bayt, started to question and to doubt the imamah of Imam al-Jawad. That's on one hand, the issue of his age, and that's the more difficult part. Of course, the authorities and the enemies of the imam also felt that if he's the only heir to Imam al-Ridha, which he was, he's the only heir to Imam al-Ridha, there was no other male child, there was in fact no other child. Imam al-Ridha did not have any other child according to the accounts that we have read. He's the only heir to Imam al-Ridha. So they think, okay, this is easy, we'll take care of him. And some of the things they did to the imam, putting him in positions to answer questions amongst what they identified as ulama, putting him in a position similar to his father, thinking now this is a young boy, he won't have the answers. And obviously they were proven wrong over and over and over again. And that became in itself a miracle that increased the iman of certain people and brought certain other people into tashayyu.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. this program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Televised speech on the eve of the 13th presidential election, June 16th, 2021. Some advice to those responsible for conducting the elections. Making the necessary preparations to ensure the voters' health. I have almost finished talking about the elections. I just want to give some advice to those responsible for conducting the elections. May God give them strength that they must make the necessary preparations and predictions to ensure people's health when they go to the ballot boxes because people want to participate in the elections. This participation and going to the ballot boxes must not bring any harm to the health of the society, and this requires certain preparations. Of course, the authorities have announced that they are working on this. I also emphasize that they must definitely work on this. Secondly, they have reported to me that one of the problems we have, which we have faced repeatedly in elections and about which there have always been complaints, is that sometimes in an election center, they say there are no ballot papers left. Or suppose the elections start at 7 or 8. There are no ballot papers in some centers yet for the people to vote. They must solve this problem. They should ensure that there are no centers without ballot papers. The ballot papers are made available without delay, and that there is no shortage of ballot papers. This was the second point for which the necessary preparations needed to be made. Thirdly, in reports from abroad, they have reported to me that in some of these countries, perhaps in a large number of countries, not all necessary preparations have been made in foreign countries. I ask the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of Interior Affairs to make serious efforts to correct this matter, and since there is not much time left to help the Iranians who wish to participate in the elections in foreign countries, to be able to do so. This was the next point. Fourthly, they must deal with any violations. This is what I wanted to say. I ask God the Almighty to guide our hearts. O God, the hearts belong to you and are under your control. Guide all the hearts toward what is good for this country and this nation. May God's mercy and blessings be upon you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.